Let's take just a few moments to hear the hearing of God's Word. Turn with me, if you will, one more Christmas message, if you will, as we final out this year. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. The women in the Bible don't get enough attention, to be sure. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. You know, we often say, people often say that Christmas is for children. And of course that's true, because we are God's children. When Jesus speaks of the little children, he's speaking of his elect children, his people. Christmas didn't seem to affect Caesar, didn't affect his generals, it didn't affect those folks that are more focused on themselves. But Jesus' birth did affect the shepherds, did affect Mary and Joseph, didn't affect the Jewish priests, didn't affect the members of the Sanhedrin. They didn't even know what was happening. They weren't there. Christmas is for the children, the little ones, the least among us, those that are not considered overly important by the culture around them, just like today. Again, why do I revisit a Christmas story here at the end of the year? Well, one, because I can. And second, because at the end of the year, we need this message going into the new year. We're at the eve of a new year, and as such, we need to be ready to enter into it. We don't know what the Lord has planned. We need to enter into it with the right spirit, the spirit of the shepherds, the awe, the haste with which they went to Bethlehem, the spirit of Joseph and Mary, Mary especially as she treasured and pondered, meditated on all that was going on, the spirit of Simeon and the spirit of Anna, as they are excited about redemption coming to those who wait. Read with me. Luke 2, 36 through 38. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Again, Father, it is good to hear your word. The third verse of the first chapter of Revelation tells us it is a blessing to hear your word. And we rejoice in that. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears to hear what you would have us to say. In Jesus' name, amen. We talk a lot about children in this church because they're everywhere. They're all around us in our church, the little people, if you will. They're everywhere before us. But when we think of the little people, we think of those that are the least of these. Anna is one of those people in our story. She only receives three verses in this whole narrative. So she would be considered as somewhat insignificant, but she's not. By God's providence and his purpose, she's a part of this story for us to learn more and more. In fact, he doesn't leave anything out that's necessary for our growth and our learning. And Anna is one of those important pieces of this Christmas story. She's a widow of impeccable character, and she's old. It seems at first glance that she may have been only 91. But when you do the math, she's at least 104 years old. So in that culture, being old and being a woman, she was basically outside of the public eye of most people. She was unseen, except by those who would say, look, She's got to be the oldest living person in Jerusalem. That's how they saw Anna. Now, God saw her differently. Prophetess, what does that mean? Well, in that case, she was one of those women, those single widow women who were always praying and always worshiping and always fasting. And when anyone would listen, she would actually illuminate on the word of God, more than likely. And God gives her that title to recognize that she had significance in his eyes, if not in anyone else's. Her life was defined not by what she could or couldn't contribute, but it was defined by who she belonged to. God defines her. This is God's word. He's the one that defines her here. She may not have meant much to the people in her day, but to her Heavenly Father, she was a precious child, much more important than her age and her status. Those things had nothing to do with how God loved her and how God would ultimately use her. He had placed her and aged her for this particular moment, just like he had Simeon. She was devoted to God. She understood what she was witnessing. If only we paid a bit more attention in this life to what's happening around us. Seems like we miss probably more than we catch. Maybe we'd be better equipped to handle life when it crashes in on us than we are. Now, just a little bit of background, how we get here. Jesus would have already been circumcised at 8 days old and named, as that was the custom, that was the law. Remember, the scripture says he was born under the law. Then there would have been the required 30 to 33 days of purification for Mary and the baby. At the end of that time, 40, 41 days, then they would be able to come to the temple to give the appropriate sacrifices for the firstborn son that Leviticus 12 dictates for us. And it's on that day, that's the day that they run into Simeon and then Anna as well. Just like Simeon, she had been waiting for this day to occur. Just like Simeon, she knew and she understood that this infant immediately was the one that they had been waiting for, the Redeemer of Israel, of God's people, that God had kept His promise that He had made so many years ago. And she knew it the moment Simeon said what he said. The consolation of Israel is here. He has arrived. Redemption is upon us. She knew that that was true, for she had been devout. She had been worshiping and praying and waiting upon the Lord for this specific day. And we know that that's what's happened because the scripture says, and coming up, that is, to where they were standing, Simeon and Joseph and Mary and Jesus, well, Jesus was being held, of course, and at that very hour, at the moment that Simeon was saying to Mary what he was saying, she began to give thanks to God and then to speak of him to all who were waiting the redemption of Israel or Jerusalem. Simeon announced she was there to hear it. Everything was happening just as she had been waiting for, just as not promised in the way that Simeon had been promised, but because of her being so devout, she knew this was the right time. She understood. She saw the Redeemer because she was a woman of worship, a woman of prayer, a woman of fasting, and that sustained her, enabling her to see clearly God's realities, something we have a hard time with because of our lack of time within the Word, unless you're spending 3 hours a day like Jim is in the Word. I'm not trying to make fun, because it's a great example and a great opportunity that you testify to us that God has given you the time, the desire, and the inclination to do that. And we're thankful for that testimony. God's redemption had come, and her joy was made full for her love for the Messiah that she saw and desired to tell everyone about. Just like the shepherds, when they made known to all the things that they had been told about this baby, they couldn't stop. They couldn't be quiet about it. She is caught up, Anna is caught up in this redemption that is here. Now, redemption is an interesting word. We all know that originally, especially in this culture, it was used to describe that whole concept of buying something back from a pawn shop or buying an item back. And that's the basic biblical meaning as well, except there's a twist to it that's a very important twist here. The word was basically more than likely often used when it talked about purchasing slaves back. Because in the law, it required someone else to purchase someone else out of slavery, the slave out of slavery. In fact, the word went so far in meaning that it would mean that this person could never, ever go to the marketplace to be sold as a slave again. And so the fullness, the completeness of that redemption, of being purchased, was that they could never be a slave again. And of course, that's what Christ has done for us. He's purchased our freedom. He's taken away our sin. He's taken our place on the cross. He's taken us out of the marketplace of sin and given us the freedom so that we'll never be slaves again. We're now sons and daughters of the King. It doesn't get any better than that. From slave to prince and princess. Now, this is what Anna had been waiting for. Waiting for God to do for His people in the city of Jerusalem, in the country of Israel, to all God's people everywhere. So when she saw the infant Jesus, she recognized Him to be the one who would, in fact, pay the price for the redemption from sin for all those and sin's controlling power that are God's. She recognized Him because of her faith. The eyes of faith that we've been talking about the last few weeks have been focused and taught and shaped and molded. You say, well, she has a whole lot, many more years on her than I, even I do, even Jim does. And that experience makes all the difference in the world. But the point is that she also was paying attention. She was looking. She was looking for that. Great lesson here. We need not worry that we won't know the Lord when He comes. We won't have to worry about knowing the Lord, whether He comes again before we go to Him or when we go to Him. It's all going to be able, we'll be able to see that. But Anna's life shows us something else that we need to know when we enter this new world, this new year. Marcos was talking about how important it is to have a church family. She's emphasizing that as well, the importance of being with God's people. Not only was she in the temple's courts night and day worshiping and fasting, but once she saw the Savior, what did she do? She went to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. You see, hers was not a solitary life. Hers was not a solitary faith, even at her age. So she went to tell the other believers that the Messiah was here. Believers are defined here as all those who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The remnant of the Old Testament, if you will. They knew of God's redemption was coming, and they were waiting patiently for that. They believed, and Anna, at 104, was given the privilege to tell the church family that He was here. Just like Mary Magdalene was given the privilege to go and tell the disciples that the Lord had risen. God's use of females is immense in a culture that didn't see them for much of anything. She wanted to share. She was called to share this indescribable gift to her church family. These believers, these remnants, this remnant, these little ones, this young, these little children, the elect of God, were the ones that Christmas was for. Just like today. So as we enter into this new year, remember, like Anna, God has provided us with the eyes of faith so that we can know His truth. Because by faith, Anna knew her Redeemer. Like Anna, we will see our Redeemer, whether in this life or the next. Like Anna, we do not live solitary lives or have a solitary, autonomous faith, no matter our age. But we're connected to God's people in all ages, but specifically in our local communities as well. So that we can tell, like we did tonight, one another what God has done and what God is doing in our lives. That testimony one to another is crucial for our growth to remind us of God's goodness. But lastly, we need to remember, like Anna, while the world may think us unimportant, if they think of us at all, we are the children of God. We are the children of God. We are that important because He's counted us worthy by sending His Son to die on the cross, to shed His blood, to raise again, and to come and stand before Him on the throne. And we get to look forward to His coming again and reigning with Him. Redemption has come to Jerusalem. Redemption has come to Israel. Redemption has come to the elect. Come to all those who have waited patiently. Happy New Year. That's what we have to look forward to in the new year. Pray with me. Father, thank you again for your word that continues to remind us. Remind us of the realities, because in our world, we see so much that is not real. We hear so many lies. We have so much tugging at us to go one direction or another. Thank you for eyes of faith to see the realities of God. The redemption that has come to Israel, to the elect, to your church. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if we have anybody in the back, but I'll wait and see if for those who... Oh, there comes... Thought I saw somebody take off. We in this church like to have it to where all the families are together, whether the children receive communion at this stage in their growth or not, but we like it's a family meal, and we like to make sure everybody's here as much as possible. God calls His people, as I said, together. To receive this family meal as a sign and a seal of grace, a means of grace, enabling us to continue to recognize the need we have for Him, to recognize the power that comes from what God has granted to us and given us in His Word, in His prayer, His people, and in the sacraments as well. That means of grace that enables us. It's not just about going from 2022 to 2023. It's to be able to live day by day in the way that God wants us to live, to see, to hear, to seek, to meditate on His Word and live accordingly. So we're grateful for this meal, this table. This not a PCA table. This is for all baptized believers. This is the church, the table of the church of believers. And we're thankful that God gave us this gift. It's important that we recognize the need that if we come and are here tonight without being repentant of sin, that we probably need, well, not probably, we need to refrain from receiving. But tonight, this is also the table for sinners, redeemed sinners, who need to grow and be strengthened. And remember that God has provided this for us as a family meal, as a profession of faith, as a desire to continue to grow and proclaim the Word. And in that, to that degree, hear the words of institution from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Pray with me. Father, we rejoice this day in the giving of this gift, this sacrament, this means of grace. We're thankful, Father, that you instituted this for the good of your people, that we might worship you accordingly, that we might grow accordingly, that we might be sustained and strengthened accordingly, that we might remember what you have done, that we might live in what you are doing, and that we would look forward to what is coming. Past, present, and future is all wrapped up in this table. It's not simply a memorial meal. It reminds us of the ongoing grace upon grace that we receive just by being your children, and we rejoice in that. Father, we thank you that we are the we that Paul speaks of here. We are the ones to whom the blessing comes. We are the one to whom the judgment falls when we act out of accord. We, your children, that we might not be condemned with the world. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it, as I'm doing in his name, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Please, everyone, hold the bread until we're all ready to receive. Receive together. Lord says, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same night he took the cup, the third cup of the night, the cup of redemption of the Passover meal, which becomes the Lord's Supper, as we look forward to the redemption that will be won for us because Christ went to the cross. He drank the cup of God's wrath, that we might be able to drink this cup. This cup is the new covenant in his blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And he says, drink from it, all of you. Again, please hold until everyone receives. The dark is wine, and the light is grape juice. The tremendous grace of the Lord. Drink from it, all of you. Again, Father, we can't even begin to thank you enough, but we have a lifetime to try to achieve that. We thank you so much. We rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen.